السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأتقياء وأصحابه الأصفياء. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. محمد رسول الله، والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم، تراهم ركعا سجدا يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا، سيماهم في وجوههم من أثر السجود، ذلك مثلهم في التوراة. ومثلهم في الإنجيل كزرع أخرج شطأه فازره فاستغلظ فاستوى على سوقه يعجب الزراع ليغيظ بهم الكفار، وعد الله الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات منهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من يعش منكم بعدي فسيرى اختلافا كثيرا، فعليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين تمسكوا بها وأضوا عليها بالنواجذ. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: إذا رأيتم الذين يسبون أصحابي فقولوا لعنة الله على شركم، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. My dear brothers and respected elders, honorable ulama and the sisters who are listening in different places, I begin in the name of Allah and thank Him and praise Him and glorify Him and seek His forgiveness and ask Him to send His infinite mercy upon His beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to send His special blessings upon His beloved companions, to forgive our sins and to guide us all to the right path, to enlighten our hearts with His love and love for His beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that we can all live like Muslims, die like Muslims, and rise like Muslims on the day of Qiyamah. My dear brothers, we are living in very difficult times, generally considered times of fitan and fasad, times of evil and corruption. And it's not easy for us to live like Muslims. It's not easy now, it's never been easy and will never be easy. Allah says, don't think, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ وَنْ يُتْرَكُوا وَنْ يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do the people think they can claim to be believers and they won't be tested? Allah will surely def you guarantee to be put through tests. وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Allah has definitely surely tested the people before you and similarly will test you to distinguish who are truthful and who are merely claimants and liars. Times are becoming more and more difficult. Things are never going to become easy. لا يأتي عليكم عام ولا يوم إلا والذي بعده شر منه حتى تلقوا ربكم. This is a hadith from Bukhari. There will not come a day or a year other than the fact it will bring more and more evil until you return to your Lord. There will come a time a man will walk by a grave and wish that he was dead and buried in the place of the deceased. Things are not easy, but you don't have to despair. When the going gets tough, then the tough get going. When things are expensive, then things are rare, then the price increases. مَنْ تَمَسَّكَ بِسُنَّتِي عِنْدَ فَسَادِ أُمَّتِي. Those people who hold on to the sunnah, to deen, in difficult times of fitan and fasad, be assured, Allah won't let you be wasted. Allah will give you the reward of martyrs. فَلَهُ أَجْرُ شَهِيدٍ وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ فَلَهُ أَجْرُ مِئَةَ شَهِيدٍ. A man, he goes into the battlefield, dies, give up his life, once he's gone. But a man who lives by deen in times of hardship and difficulty, فَلَهُ أَجْرُ مِئَةَ شَهِيدٍ. Allah will give him the reward of 100 martyrs. It's not easy, but nobody ever said it was going to be easy. People can take the easy route, sit back and relax and let things happen and just flow with the crowd, act like blind sheep. If that's somebody's choice, then that's his choice. But when the going gets tough, then the tough get going. And then Allah makes it easy. Then Allah raises you. Allah lifts people. Allah doesn't let them down. All you've got to do is stand on your feet. Uth band kamar kyun darta hai? Phir dekh Khuda kya karta hai? Stand up and see. Then see how Allah will save you and lift you and elevate you. And Allah has promised. This is a promise of Allah. Wa'ad Allah la yukhlifullahu wa'ada. When Allah makes a promise, Allah doesn't go against His promise. Rasulullah was sadiqul amin. Rasulullah has prophesied coming of such times. When people will be Muslim in the morning, kafir by the evening, he who washes away by the wayside, he's got no one to blame but himself. If people choose to be blind, people choose to turn away, people choose to look away, people choose to ignore, then that's their problem, not Allah's problem. But you're gonna die anyway, by hook or by crook, now or later, tomorrow, a day will come. Death is one absolute rule of Allah, to which there is simply no exception. Kullu man alayha, kullu man alayha fan. Everyone is destined to perish. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. The only one who's ever living is Allah Almighty Himself. الْحَيُّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he passed away, and Allah had already told him, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ. My beloved Prophet, you have to die as well. So had they all. When Rasulullah passed away, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu saw the state of Sahaba. They were all anguished. True believer loves Allah and loves Rasulullah. A true believer doesn't love his wife and his parents even as much as he loves Rasulullah. And Sahaba, they used to long to see Rasulullah. One Sahabi came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I love you so much. When I remember you during the day, I can't rest until I come and see you. But if I remember you at night, I can't come and disturb you in your home, but I come by your house and assure and comfort myself, the beloved Prophet of Allah is resting here, and then I can go home and sleep. He said, if I get to Jannah even, Ya Rasulullah, you are Khatim al-Anbiya wal-Mursaleen, highest rank in Jannah, and me even if I get there, I'll be somewhere low down. For me to be in Jannah and not be with you, I don't want such a Jannah. I don't even want to be there if I can't be with you. What good is me being in Jannah if I can't be with you? Rasulullah held his peace. Jibreel came down with verses from the Quran. Allah sent Jibreel, Jibreel, go quickly. Emergency mission. وَمَنْ يُتِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنَعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. Rasulullah summoned the Sahabi, bring him, call him. And Rasulullah said to him, at your love, Allah sent Jibreel with these verses. With this ayat, those who obey Allah and His Messenger, they will be with the people Allah has favored from amongst the Prophets, Siddiqeen, Shuhada'i, Saliheen. And what a wonderful companions they are. When you want to buy a house, you look for a nice neighborhood. Somewhere peaceful, calm. The best neighborhood in Jannah is the neighborhood of Firdaus. Allah will put the Prophets there and Sahaba, they wanted to be there. Allahu Akbar. So people, they love Rasulullah. People love Allah. People love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah, loving Rasulullah, they love every aspect of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They love Rasulullah. They love his city. They love his family. They love his wives, his children, his daughters, and his companions. Rasulullah lived not just for his family. Most people, they live only for their family. You ask a businessman, what do you need? Man, Allah's given you millions. Why are you working so hard for? Relax, calm down. Enjoy life the few days you've got. I'm working for the family, man. Is that what people say? Or don't they say that? Rasulullah had a family. Rasulullah didn't work just for his family. Rasulullah lived for his ummah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prepared his ummah. He prepared his companions and the jamaat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and direct students of Rasulullah. Many people are proud, and they should be, mashallah. I studied with Sheikh bin Nuri rahmahullah. I've studied with so and so Sheikh. I've studied with so and so Sheikh. I've studied with so and so Sheikh. Mubarak to you. But Abu Bakr studied with Rasulullah. Umar radiallahu anhu studied with Rasulullah. Usman radiallahu anhu studied with Rasulullah. Many of you might say, my daughter is to marry to so and so Maulana, so and so brother, so and so millionaire, billionaire. Good for you. Abu Bakr's daughter is married to Rasulullah.
Abu Bakr's daughter is married to Rasulullah. Umar radiallahu anhu's daughter is married to Rasulullah. Now when you grow up, mashallah, when you get married, you have families. Allah gives you sons and daughters. Allah give you a son, your son grow up. You put out a word, Maulana, please, you know, my son's growing up now. He's asking me, I should get him married. Maulana, you know, if you know some nice girl, please let me know. We can put out a word, inshallah, and get him married. Let him just separate him, let him go his way. When your son grows up, you want to bring him a good bride. The best that you can bring. When Rasulullah was blessed with daughters, didn't Rasulullah want the best son-in-law for his daughters? What do you think? Didn't Rasulullah want a good son-in-law? Who did Rasulullah give his daughters to? Rasulullah gave two to Uthman. He first gave Ruqayya, his eldest daughter Zainab radiallahu anha, she was married to Abu al-As bin Rabi, her cousin. And then the second one, he gave initially to Uthman, Ruqayya. When she passed away, Rasulullah gave his third daughter, Umm Kulthum, to Uthman as well. When she passed away, in the meantime, Hazrat Fatima married Hazrat Ali. And then when Umm Kulthum passed away, Rasulullah said to Uthman, "Oh Uthman, I don't have any more daughters. If I had 40, I would have given them all to you. I would have given them all to you." So didn't Rasulullah find a good man for his daughters? He found the best man there was for his daughters. When you want to get married, when you want to get yourself married, you want for Maulana, if you know a nice girl, someone good looking, someone pious as well. He doesn't pray five times a day, got no beard himself, but he wants a hijabi girl. Raise your hands, brothers. MashaAllah, raise your hands. Go on. I'm not going to ask you for money. I don't want a penny from you. Don't be scared. Raise both hands. Raise both hands. MashaAllah. Both hands, brothers. Roll them down. MashaAllah. Roll them down your face. MashaAllah. If you can grab something, say Alhamdulillah. If not, say Astaghfirullah. Why can't you grab? Because you want to look smart, huh? You think you want to look smart every morning? Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. Rasulullah, did he ever say Bismillah, Allahu Akbar like this? Why you? Because you want to look smart, huh? You think you want to look smart more than Rasulullah? Ahsanu minka lam taraqattu aynan. No eye ever saw anyone more handsome than Rasulullah. And how could any eye? No mother ever gave birth to anyone better than Rasulullah. Ajmalu minka lam talidin nisa'u khuliqta mubarra'an min kulli aibin ka'annaka qad khuliqta kama tasha'u. Allah made him so wonderful, so perfect. This is sunnah, not just of Rasulullah, sunnah of all the anbiya. You can think you can look smart, but it's become fashion now. Everything bold. Bold there, everything like a peeled potato. Masha. And he thinks he's looking smart. Rasulullah was the smartest of all, the most handsome of all, the best of all. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was going to get married, you want the best bride for yourself and for your son. You think Allah didn't want the best for his beloved prophet? Allah took the best of the best. At-tayyibatu lit-tayyibin, good men, good women for good men. Good men for good women for good men. At-tayyibatu lit-tayyibin wa at-tayyibun lit-tayyibat. Good women for good men for good women. Wal-khabithatu lil-khabithin. Bad women for bad men. Wal-khabithun lil-khabithat. It's how you are, Allah will pair you up accordingly. Don't worry. You want to be good, you want a good wife, make yourself good. If you're a woman, you want a good husband, make yourself good. Allah will give you a good partner in life. You think you want a good bride? Allah didn't want the best bride for his beloved prophet? Who did Allah give his beloved prophet? Firstly, Khadija radiallahu anha. Allah used to send salam for Khadija as well. Rasulullah loved her dearly as well. Then Allah gave Rasulullah Aisha. Then Allah gave Rasulullah Sauda. Then Allah gave him Hafsa, Umm Salma, Umm Habiba, Zainab bint Khuzayma, Zainab bint Jahsh, Jawariya, Maymuna, the likes. And in Nabiyyu awla bil mu'minina min anfusihim. The Prophet is dearest to the believers than even themselves. No believer can be a true believer unless and until he loves Rasulullah. La yu'minu ahadukum hatta akuna ahabba ilayhi min walidihi wa waladihi wa nasi ajma'in. No one can be a true believer unless and until he loves Rasulullah more than his parents and his children and even himself. Then and only then you can be a true believer.
النبي أولى بالمؤمنين من أنفسهم وأزواجه أمهاتهم. His wives are your mothers, the mothers of the believers. Allah handpicked them. يا نساء النبي, this is Quran. يا نساء النبي لستن كأحد من النساء. Oh, you wives of my prophet, you aren't ordinary women. There's no woman in the world like you. Allah picked the best of the best for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah said to them, they are your mothers. Your mothers. Respect them. Show love to them. Your mother, mashallah, if anybody's mother is alive, father is alive, make the most. Every moment you can look at them even. And that is a blessing of Allah. And we are living in times of fitan and fasad. Every turn you take, you see posters. Posters of semi-naked women, supposed glossy models. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. To promote anything, everything, women. Women have become fitna. The Prophet said, ma taraktu badi fitnatan adarru ala rijali minan nisa. I'm not leaving behind any bigger fitna for men than the fitna of women. Women have become such fitna. And women aren't just fitna. A good woman, there's nothing better for you in life than a good woman. الدنيا كلها متاع وخير متاع الدنيا المرأة الصالحة. Everything in this world is good, but the best thing for a believer is a good woman. If Allah blesses anyone with a good woman, you've got Jannat in dunya. Jannat in dunya. And if you haven't, believe me, she'll give you hell of a time here. Allahu ad-dunya kulluha mata wa khayru mata'i ad-dunya al-mar'atu sal. Not just give you hell, many men make it hell for women as well. It works both ways. Don't think, oh, just I'm putting women down. Many men are wicked as well. Many women are very good. Many women are wicked as well. So are men. Every man is not Jibreel, Mikael either. You get both of same kinds. Allahu Akbar. But the wives of Rasulullah, they are the mothers of the Ummah. When you go home, you look at a beautiful woman on a poster on the day of Qiyamah, your eyes will be poked with hot rods. But you go home and that old woman might have wrinkled faces. She can't see properly. Son, is that you? She might even look and stare like that. She can't see properly. She can't speak properly. Her teeth have fallen now. Dentures can just about hang on in there. Her back is arched. But she's your mother. The other woman was Miss World, the most pretty woman in the world. But you look at her and there's something waiting for you in hell. But you go home and you look at that woman, old woman who gave you birth, and you smile at her. And that old man, who's your father. Many people say, you know, Maulana, my old man's on my case 24/7. They address their father like an old man, as though you're not going to grow old. Don't worry, son, you've got your things coming your way as well. It's how you treat your mother and father is how your children will treat you. Not just treat you same way, they'll be one step ahead. Allahu Akbar. You go home and look at that woman Allah will give you. Each time you look at her and him and smile, Rasulullah said Allah will give you the reward of one hajj. Somebody said, Ya Rasulullah, well, if somebody looks at them 100 times a day, well, Rasulullah said, well, Allah is going to give the reward. There's no shortage over there. Allah will give you the reward of 100 hajj a day. But you be the one to take. Hum to mail bakare mein koi sail hi nahi, ra dikhaye kise koi ra rave manzil hi nahi. Anybody wants, Allah is willing to give as much as you can take. There's no shortage there. But that woman, she might be your mother, she might not be your mother. In many homes, a man gets married, Allah gives him with some children, and from Allah, taqdeer, the woman dies, leaving behind young children, the man brings another woman. No harm. Common practice happens. So that woman is not the real mother of the child. And some in many homes, they adopt children. She's not the real mother and everybody encourages and she says, I'm the mama. So the child grows up saying, mummy, mama, mummy, ammi, whatever. She might be your mother, she might not be your mother. I'm not saying go home and tell your mother, you're not my mother. She probably is your mother, but there are cases, and sometimes she's not the real mother. But even if she is your real mother and you go home and say, you are not my mother, I don't care. I'm not going to take you as my mother anymore. Very bad. May Allah never ever bring such a day in any believer's life, at least a Muslim's life. But if someone does, very bad, but it won't make you a kafir. But if somebody dares to say, Aisha is not my mother, Hafsa is not my mother, Ummi Habiba, Maimuna, Jawariya, Zainab are not my mothers, Wallahi Lazim, he will become a kafir straight away, because Allah is saying she is your mother. It's not just normal issue. People have the audacity, the Shias have the nerve to curse Aisha radiallahu anha, to curse Hafsa radiallahu anha, to curse Abu Bakr. Shiaism isn't just an ordinary affair. It's a very severe evil. It's a spiritual cancer. It's a cancer eating away in the ummah. It's eating their iman away. Many people might say, Maulana, but they're in namaz. They have their masjids. I call them temples. They have their temples. They read the Quran. They go to Hajj. And they do a lot of good work. Their name is Muhammad. Well, didn't Abu Bakr read Kalima? Didn't Abu Bakr go to masjid? Didn't Abu Bakr read Quran? Didn't Abu Bakr do Hajj? Didn't Umar do the same? Didn't Aisha read Kalima? Didn't Aisha used to read namaz? Didn't she used to read Quran? Didn't she do Hajj? Well, if they can call her kafira, if they can call Abu Bakr kafir, if they can call Umar kafir, then where are your sympathies? Why are you sympathizing with these kafirs and not protecting their honor? What are you going to say to Rasulullah on the day of Qiyamah? If somebody says something to your wife, if somebody says something to your mother, you can say what you like to me, but leave my mother out. Leave my wife out. And this is none of your business. In many parts of the world, let alone say something nasty, even if you say something nice, probably be the last thing you ever say in your life. Try saying to someone, man, your wife's really beautiful. Or worse, try and say something, your wife is a bitch. Probably be the last thing you ever say in your life. If that's the thing with somebody, why are these people saying the same thing to Rasulullah? That his wife, I have Shia books with me, I carry them with me wherever I go. And people think, man, you did not Shias, Allah, the Shias don't say that. What Shia is written all over their books, their authentic books. Nowadays everybody carries smartphones in their pockets. And they don't ask Maulana, they haven't got the time or the respect for any Maulana. They ask Shia Google and Mufti Twitter. And Mufti Twitter tweets with them. And he says whatever. They trust Mr. Google more than they trust ulama. This is Hayatul Qulub. Ask your Shia Google and Mufti Twitter. Who Mullah Baqir Majlisi? I call him Majusi. Who this Majusi was? Baqir Majusi. Baqir Majlisi. It will tell you, Sheikh Google will tell you, the most powerful Shia scholar of all times. He's written books, Jalaul Uyun, Hayatul Qulub. We all know the Mahdi will come. We all know the Mahdi is coming. You believe the Mahdi is coming, yeah? We believe Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدْهِ لَا تَذْهَبُ الدُّنْيَا حَتَّى يَمْلِكُ الْعَرَبَ. The world will not end Allah until Allah will raise a man who will be a ruler of the Arabs. Amin Wulde Bani Fatima, he will be from the descendants of Fatima. Yuati ismuhu ismi wa ismu abi. His name will be the same as my name. His father's name will be the same as my father's name. Yamla'ul arda adlan wa qistan kama muliyat zulman wa jawra. He will fill the world with justice as the world would have been filled with oppression and tyranny. The Mahdi will come. In his time, the world will be filled with goodness. And it will rain. يُرْسَلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْهِمْ مِدْرَارًا وَلَا تَدَعُ الْأَرْضُ شَيْءٍ مِّن نَبَاتِهَا إِلَّا أَخْرَجَتْهُ. Allah will send a rain. Because of the rain, the earth will give up all its goodness. It won't leave anything good. Brothers were telling me, mashallah, in this area, very nice fruits and so on and so forth. But when the Mahdi will come, the earth, all over the earth, it will become so fruitful. وَفِي زَمَنِ الْمَهْدِ تَنَعْمُ أُمَّتِي نِعْمَةً لَمْ يَنَعْمُوا قَتْ. The ummah will enjoy such prosperity it would have never enjoyed in its history. And when the Mahdi will come, Shia Mullah Baqir Majlisi, the most powerful Shia scholar of all times, Hayatul Qulub, they call it Qasasul Anbiya, but in there is Hayatul Qulub, volume 2, page 900, the Urdu version. He said, Ali bin Ibrahim ne rivayat ki hai. Do some of you understand Urdu? Ali bin Ibrahim ne rivayat ki hai ki unki ek khiyanat Aisha ka, Talha wa Zubair ke saath Amirul Mu'mineen se jang ke liye Basra jana tha, aur Hazrat Sahibul Amr, the Mahdi, Aisha ko bhi hukm khuda zinda karenge aur is khiyanat ke sabab had jari karenge. He said, when the Mahdi will come, he will raise Aisha and lash her. We don't believe in such a Mahdi who will lash the wife of Rasulullah. Anyone who dreams of such a thing, may Allah curse him in this world and the life hereafter. And why are you saying, you might think, why, Maulana, why are you saying this? Because I'm saying this because Allah said it. Surah An-Nur, when people slandered Aisha radiallahu anha, Allah revealed verses, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْسَنَاتِ الْغَافِلَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. These, as Aisha was a young girl at the time, she didn't know what was going on. She didn't know all these accusations people were laying at her. And when she realized that that's what people are slandering me about, she just felt so sick, she couldn't move. And then Allah revealed verses in her defense. Allah says, وَلَوْلَا إِذْ سِمِعْتُمُوهُ قُلْتُمْ مَا يَكُونُ لَنَا أَن نَتَكَلَّمَ بِهَذَا سُبْحَانَكَ هَذَا بُهْتَانٌ عَظِيمٌ. When these people were slandering her, why didn't you Muslims speak up? Why didn't you say this is all rubbish? This is all buhtan, slandering. And these people who slandered these such innocent mu'minat, ghafilat, innocent, they don't know what's happening around them, but people are slandering them. Allah said, لُعِنُوا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Allah will curse them in this world and the life hereafter. So the people who curse Aisha, people who curse Abu Bakr, people who curse Umar radiallahu anhu, when anybody does anything wrong, one of the worst thing you can do is to call a Muslim a kafir. Oh, you kafir. He's a Muslim, but you're calling him a kafir. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ثَلَاثٌ مِّنْ أَصْلِ الْإِيمَانِ. And this is a riwayat from Abu Dawood. And Anas radiallahu anhu, he said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ثَلَاثٌ مِّنْ أَصْلِ الْإِيمَانِ. There are three things from the fundamentals of Islam. الْكَفُّ وَمَّنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. When anyone says, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, then you should hold your hands and your tongue back from him. You should not hurt him. You should not insult him. You should not abuse him. You should not degrade him. You should not humiliate him. الْكَفُّ وَمَّنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَلَا تُكَفِّرْهُ بِذَنْبٍ. And just because he appears to be doing something bad or sinful, don't make takfir of him. Don't call him a kafir. وَلَا تُخْرِجُهُ مِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ بِعَمَلٍ. And just because he might appear to be doing something bad, don't throw him out of Islam because of that. إِذَا قَالَ الرَّجُلُ لِيَخِيَ يَا كَافِرٍ فَقَدْ بَاءَ بِهَا أَحَدُهُمَا. When a man calls his brother a kafir, then it becomes binding on at least one of them. You call someone a kafir, then either he's a kafir or you become a kafir. وَإِنْ كَانَ كَمَا قَالَ وَإِلَّا رَجَعَ عَلَيْهِ. If it is as he has said, okay, otherwise the kufr will come back to haunt you. And there's a severe danger when you die, because you were calling Muslims kafir, then there's a danger when you die, you will die like a kafir. إذا قال الرجل لأخيه يا كافر من دعا رجلا بالكفر أو قال عدو الله. When a man calls another man a kafir or calls him enemy of Islam, وليس كذلك إلا حار عليه. If that's the case, if it is as he has said otherwise, it's coming back at you. Just wait. It might not come to you now, but it will. Rasulullah has said it will, so it will. When someone calls another Muslim a kafir, that's the biggest insult to another Muslim. And when people have the audacity and they insult and they curse Sahaba, when you see somebody doing something bad, someone is in drugs, common, may Allah save our youth, save everybody. from falling into the trap of drugs. But you can come and, Maulana, please make dua, give me tawiz, whatever, Maulana, easy, my son is in drugs. He will probably say, may Allah guide him. Is that what he might say? Is that what they probably say? Someone says, Maulana, my son, he doesn't listen to his mother, he shouts back at her. He might say, may Allah guide him. Maulana, my son is so lazy, he doesn't want to get a job or anything, he's got children. And I'm getting old, he's not doing anything, man, it gives me sleepless nights. Maulana Sahib might say, may Allah guide him. Probably says, there's no, what else can he do? He can only make dua, may Allah guide him. But there's one sin, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you see people committing that sin, then don't say, may Allah guide them. إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُ الَّذِينَ يَسُبُّونَ أَصْحَابِي. When people, when your son speaks up against the mother, you can probably say, may Allah guide him. But when someone curses, swears at the wives or the family, companions of Rasulullah, then Rasulullah said, then don't say, may Allah guide him. Then say, may Allah curse you. إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُ الَّذِينَ يَسُبُّونَ أَصْحَابِي فَقُولُوا لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى شَرِّكُمْ. And this is not my fatwa. I'm not a mufti. I don't give fatwa. There's Mufti Khalid Sahab, alhamdulillah, sitting here. Anybody want a fatwa, see him. There's other prominent muftis, mashallah. Mufti Ibrahim Desai Sahab, Damat Barakatuh. May Allah bless him. Mufti Zubair Bayat Sahab. Mufti A.K. Abdul Qadir Hussain, mashallah. And others, mashallah. Very prominent, great muftis in South Africa. I'm not one of them. I'm just quoting what Allah has said. I'm just quoting what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said. So Shiaism isn't Islam. Wasn't Abu Bakr. But Maulana, they read Kalima, they pray namaz, they build a masjid. Don't call their temple a masjid. Where's the Dalil? Dalil is in the Quran. At the time, they were hypocrites. And one trace of hypocrites, they claim to believe, but in their hearts, they harbor kufr. And their main trait, Allah mentions in the Quran, is they look down upon Sahaba, they consider them as fools, and they look down upon them. They look down upon Sahaba. When they are told to believe like them, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَمْ آمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ النَّاسِ قَالُوا وَنُؤْمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ السُّفَحَ. When they are told to believe like people, Sahaba, then they say, shall we believe like these fools? Allah says, how dare you call them fools? Like children, when they fight in the playground, somebody says, your mother's like this. What does the other one say? Your mother's same 10 times over. When someone says, your dad's like this, your dad's 10 times over, the same thing. So Allah is so conscious of Sahaba. So conscious of Sahaba, anybody calls him fool. Allah says, you're calling companions of my prophet fools? You fools! You fools! هُمُ الَّذِينَ يَقْهُمُونَ يقولون لئن رجعنا إلى المدينة ليخرجن الأعز منها الأذل. They say, when we return to Medina, we will throw out these disgraceful people. ولله العزة ولرسوله وللمؤمنين. All honor belongs to Allah, His Rasul, and the believers. And in the first instance, the believers were who? Companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah doesn't take no nonsense from anybody with regards to Sahaba. In fact, Allah mentions, talks about Sahaba in front of previous prophets. Allah says, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammad is a messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's a claim. What's the evidence, proof? Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ. Look at the people with him. What are they? What were they? وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. Allah says to them, remember Allah's favors upon you. إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً. When you were enemies of one another. فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ. Allah then put love in your hearts. فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا. Then you became like brothers. Shias, they say, the Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, they oppress the family of Rasulullah. When Allah blesses you with children, who do you want to name them after? Anybody put your hand up if your son's name is Shaitan? Anybody here whose son's name is Firaun, Qarun, Haman, Abu Lahab, Abu Jahl, exception of Abu Jahl, all the others are names in the Quran. Some people say, want the name from Quran. Well, this is the name from Quran. Shaitan, Haman, Qarun, Firaun, Iblis. You want to name your son Iblis? It's in the Quran. Blessed name, Blessed word. Word from Quran. You don't want to name your son? Name from Quran? But you said they were kafirs. They were enemies of Allah and his prophets. When Allah blessed Ali radiallahu anhu, Allah blessed him with sons. He named one Hassan, Hussein. He named others. He named three Muhammads. Big Muhammad, small Muhammad, middle Muhammad. Muhammad Akbar, Muhammad Awsat, Muhammad Asghar. One he named Abdullah, Ubaidullah. 3 and 2 is 5 and 2 is... 4 he named after his family members. Jafar, Yahya, Aun and Abbas. 14 minus 11 leaves out 3. He named one Abu Bakr, one Umar, one Uthman. So if Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman wronged Hazrat Ali, you think he was going to name his sons Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman? Who do you name your sons after? After someone you envy, you look up to, you respect, you honor. Ali radiallahu anhu looked up to Abu Bakr, looked up to Umar, looked up to Uthman radiallahu anhu. And then when Allah blessed Hazrat Hassan with sons, he got married. He named some of his other sons other names. He made sure he gave one son Abu Bakr, one son Umar name. Allah blessed Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu with sons. He named some of his sons other names, but he made sure he gave one son named Abu Bakr and the other Umar. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu's sons, others, Hazrat Hassan had already passed away. Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu went to Karbala. Muharram coming up. People already preparing to have these majlises in Muharram. And people and Shias, they will encourage people all sorts. And what they will do, even Sunnis will attend many of these majalis. Oh, Maulana, you know, these people, they wronged. They wronged Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu. This is Jilaul Uyun, written by Mullah Baqir Majusi. Jilaul Uyun, Volume 2, Urdu version, page 244. Mullah Baqir Majlisi Majusi, he says, when Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu was in Karbala, and the army of Ubaidullah bin Ziyad came, and their final day, battle started. Mullah Baqir Majusi says, page 244 Urdu version, the first man to come forward and give his life for Hazrat Hussein was Abu Bakr. The second man to come forward, give his life for Hazrat Hussein was Umar. And the third man to come forward, step forward and give his life for Hazrat Hussein was Uthman. Abu Bakr was always number one everywhere. Hazrat Umar was always number one, but behind Abu Bakr, number two. Always everywhere. Uthman, Allah gave him third number because of even his name. Abu Bakr and Umar, Uthman defended the honor of Ahlul Bayt. But these people have the nerve and they curse Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman. Radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. May Allah have his curse upon such people. Many of the Imams, Shias regard as Imam, they name their daughters Aisha. Imam Jafar Sadiq. Many people sitting here are Indian, Pakistanis, Hanafis. We say our fiqh, we follow Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, fiqh Hanafi. Some brothers, I see Somali Shafis, maybe they are Shafis. Others may be Malikis, Hanbalis. The Shias call their fiqh, fiqh Jafariya, named after Imam Jafar Sadiq. Imam Jafar Sadiq's mother, Umme Farwa radiyallahu alayhi rahma, she was the great granddaughter of Abu Bakr from two sides. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had three sons. Abdurrahman was his eldest, Abdullah and then Muhammad. Abdurrahman radiallahu anhu, he had a daughter, her name was Asma. Muhammad bin Abi Bakr had a son, his name was Qasim. Qasim was one of the grand seven fuqaha of Medina. Abdurrahman and Muhammad, they got together and Muhammad's son Qasim, he married Abdurrahman bin Abi Bakr's daughter. They were cousins, like many people married their sons into their cousins. So Muhammad bin Abi Bakr's son Qasim bin Muhammad was married to his cousin Asma binti Abdurrahman bin Abi Bakr. Allah gave, because of the union of these two lines from Abu Bakr, Allah blessed them with a daughter. A daughter from two lines of Abu Bakr coming together. They named her Umme Farwa. Umme Farwa, alayha rahma. And then Imam Baqir rahmahullah, the grandson of Hazrat Hussein, his name was Muhammad, he's known as Imam Baqir. He married Umme Farwa, Allah blessed him with a son, he is Jafar Sadiq. The Shia have the audacity to condemn Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr's great-granddaughter is the mother of the Imam. He is the central Imam of the Shias. All their teachings are named after him. In Shia books, 80%, rather 95% of the riwayats and teachings are from Imam Baqir or Imam Jafir Sadiq. And Imam Baqir's wife is the great granddaughter of Abu Bakr. Imam Jafir Sadiq's mother is the great granddaughter of Abu Bakr. So the Shias, they got plenty to give back to Abu Bakr, but they are traitors. They are traitors to their own Imam. They curse the grandfather of the mother of their own Imam. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Imam Jafir Sadiq, alayhi rahma. Alayhi rahma, Allahu akbar. Abu Bakr did so much. Abu Bakr did so much for Islam, for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah himself said, anybody I presented Islam to, they all hesitated, except Abu Bakr. Rasulullah said, I presented Abu Bakr, immediately accepted. Without a moment's hesitation. And he didn't just accept Islam. He didn't just keep Islam to himself. Like our Tablighi brothers say, when you go somewhere, get a Nakad Jamaat out. Get a Nakad Jamaat out. Abu Bakr went immediately, did Gasht immediately, did Nakad Wasuli. And brought Abdurrahman ibn Auf, Uthman bin Affan, radiallahu anhu, Talha, radiallahu anhu. They were from Ashram Mubashara. Allah had blessed Abu Bakr with wealth. And he blessed him with wealth. And Abu Bakr spent everything on Rasulullah. When Allah blessed Rasulullah with Nubuwwat, as Ali was a child, Hazrat Ali used to eat in the house of Rasulullah, sleep in the house of Rasulullah, and Rasulullah eventually gave him a daughter as well. Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha. And that's no shame for Hazrat Ali. That's an honor only two people have in the entire history. Well, three people, but among the famous ones too, only three people have this honor that they have the daughter of Rasulullah in their home. One is Abu Al-As bin Rabi. He was lucky to be married. It was a Zainab. Uthman radiallahu anhu was married. It was Ruqayya Umm Kulthum. Hazrat Ali was given Fatima radiallahu anha to be given anything by Rasul. When someone Shaykh comes here, he gives you a little thing, a tasbih or something. Many years ago, mashallah, when the Shaykh rahimahullah went to England, Dewsbury, Maulana Yusuf Mutala sahab Ahmad barakatuhum established Darul Umbari. Hazrat rahmatullah alayhi gives some chanda, some pounds. And to this day, they've kept those pounds for barakah. They didn't spend them. Why? Because Hazrat Shaykh Rahimahullah gave them, they've kept them for barakah. So whatever your Shaykh gives you, you keep for barakah. What Rasulullah gave doesn't have barakah. The most barakah. But to give, to take is barakah. But to give, give is something else. Taking is taking, but giving is giving is giving. Abu Bakr kept nothing back from Rasulullah. So much so, Rasulullah said, anybody done me any favors, I've repaid them all except Abu Bakr. Allah will repay him on the day of Qiyamah. Ma nafani mal wahdin qat ma nafani mal Abi Bakr. No one's wealth has given me as much benefit as the wealth of Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu. And Allah blessed him. Allah will bless him in akhirat. The Prophet said, I know a man, his name, the name of his father, when he would come, Jannat will welcome with all its gates open. Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, what a lucky man, who is he? The Prophet said, none other than Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr ibn Abi Quhafa. Allah repaid Abu Bakr so much, even in this world. He is the only man, only Sahabi, himself is a Sahabi, both his parents are Sahabi. All his children are Sahabi. His grandchildren are also Sahabi. Four generations of Sahaba in one family. Four generations only in the family of Abu Bakr. Hazrat Ali is blessed. His children, Hassan and Hussein, are Sahabi. Grandchildren are not Sahabi. His father, Abu Talib, wasn't a Sahabi. But Abu Bakr's both parents, his mother became a Muslim before Fath Makkah, before Hijrat. His father became a Muslim on the day Makkah was conquered. When Rasulullah was sitting with the people taking bayah, Abu Bakr went home, radiallahu anhu, brought his father. He was blind by then, very old. When Rasulullah saw Abu Quhafa coming with Abu Bakr, Rasulullah said, Abu Bakr, you should have left your father home. I would have gone to him. Abu Bakr said, no, ya Rasulullah, he deserves to come to you, not you go to him. But anyway, Allah blessed both his parents. They became Sahabi. Then Abu Bakr himself Sahabi, all his sons Sahabi, two of his grandsons, One son of Abdurrahman bin Abi Bakr is a Sahabi. One son of his daughter Asma bint Abi Bakr, who's known as Abdullah bin Zubair, is also a Sahabi, a Rasul. Four generation of Sahaba. Abu Bakr, I salute you. That was only share, your share. Allah blessed you, honored you so much, even in dunya. What will He not give you in akhirat? But this is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and the Shias have the audacity. When Rasulullah was on his final illness, Rasulullah wanted the people to know who is the man who deserves to stand in his place the most. Islam is based on how many pillars? It's getting late, huh? Islam is based on how many pillars? Five. Your iman. Where is your iman? Written on your face? Your iman is in your heart. Nobody knows. Hajj is a very blessed pillar. The Prophet said, Al-Hajjul Mabroor, Laysa lahu jaza'un illa al-Jannah. You perform Hajj properly, you don't deserve anything but straight admission to Jannah. But Hajj is once in your life. Your iman is in your heart. Fasting, if whether you're really fasting or not, nobody knows. You might have got up for sari with your family. In many masjids, they make arrangement for iftar. Many people are always first on dastarkhan. They might be fasting, they might not be fasting. I'm not saying they are not fasting, but whoever, so only he knows or Allah knows. You might be fasting, it's not written on your face. You might give zakat quietly to somebody, but from the five pillars, only two which are performed in public. Hajj is performed where? Makkah. Individually, secretly, you go on your own and perform Hajj. Can you go Hajj, perform Hajj tomorrow? When there is the day of Hajj, millions will gather. Many will say, I saw you, mashallah, in Makkah. I saw you, I was coming to meet you, but you then the other way. I saw you in Arafat, but there wasn't time to meet you. People see, they greet each other, they meet each other, they know who's been, who's not been. And in Salat, everybody is known, mashallah, they stand together. Many a times, mashallah, the brother, let's go. The other brother is fallen ill, let's go and see him. Tabligh brother, sit down, make mashwara. You make mashwara here? They sit down and make mashura, oh, so and so, I haven't seen him 3 days, I don't know where he's been, perhaps he's not well, let's go and see him, because you all pray together. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had two opportunities in his whole life, to introduce his successor, to step into his shoes, to represent him publicly. One on Salat when he fell ill, his final illness, when he was resting in his home, Maghrib Salat, Thursday was the last Salat he read in public, for Isha Salat he couldn't come. The Prophet said, Muru Abu Bakr an yusalli bin nas. Tell Abu Bakr to lead you in salah. Hazrat Ali says, I was there, I wasn't absent, I was well, I wasn't ill. I was there, Rasulullah could have summoned me, but he didn't. He summoned Abu Bakr. He didn't summon Abu Bakr. He told people, you go and tell Abu Bakr to lead you in salat. So that tomorrow when I'm not here, you know yourself. You don't need to be told who you have to make your Amir and your Imam. So you've already practiced. You know well in advance, you know who to choose. You don't want to make a mistake. If I tell you, you might say, you might not know what to do. But you go and tell Abu Bakr to lead you in Salah. 17 prayers. One, the next day was Jumu'ah. Thursday, Isha. All day, Friday. Friday, you pray Jumu'ah here. You pray Jumu'ah. You think they didn't pray Jumu'ah in Masjid al-Nabawi? They used to pray Jumu'ah. People used to flock to Jumu'ah in Masjid al-Nabawi. To pray Jummah with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that day when they came to pray Jummah, who led them in Jummah? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. 3 days. And then Monday morning as well. 1 year earlier. And Makkah was conquered in the 8th year after Hijri in Ramadan. Then after Fath Makkah, Rasulullah went to Taif. En route there was a battle at Hunain. Then Rasulullah went to Taif. 1 month siege. It wasn't successful. Sahaba became a bit fed up. Ya Rasulullah, let's go back. We've had enough. If Allah wants to bring them, He'll bring them. But enough is enough. Ya Rasulullah, please. Let's go home. Rasulullah said, okay. In the meantime, the season for Hajj lapsed. That year, on the 8th year after Hijrah, there was no Hajj by Muslims. Because they were all out in the campaign. Next year, the 9th year after Hijrah, Rasulullah didn't do Hajj himself. And not only the people of Medina and Makkah used to do Hajj. People would come to Makkah all over, from all over Arabia to perform Hajj. And when they came, who was leading the Hajj? Rasulullah sent Abu Bakr as the Amir of Hajj. So that all Arabs know when Rasulullah is not there, their Amir will be Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. But people have the audacity. And they say, oh no, 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 Abu Bakr couldn't wait to die. Abu Bakr couldn't wait for the Prophet to die. They were fighting over Khilafat. And when Rasulullah's janazah was still there. When somebody dies, who looks after the janazah? The family members. If somebody dies, somebody else wants to interfere, please. He's my father, I want the honor. People want to pay their last family members. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he was aware, he was there. Hazrat Ali was there, Abbas radiallahu anhu was there, Hazrat Zubair was there, other close members of the family were all there, looking after the burial. How many people do you need to wash somebody's body? 1,000? Only 2, 3, 4 people are enough. They were there, they wanted the honor. Abu Bakr, let them have the honor. But the Ummah Rasulullah had prepared, that Ummah was now on the verge of desperation, despair. Who was a fatherly figure for the Ummah? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr, he rescued the Ummah. He saved the Ummah at such crucial time when there was a danger, they were wavering. And people, the Shias, they say, oh, Abu Bakr and Umar were fighting over Khilafat. They were not fighting over Khilafat. They were trying to keep the Ummah safe. And then when the body was washed, Abu Bakr was there. He was the first man to pray janazah on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was no public janazah on Rasulullah, yes. And the Shias, they say, look, they didn't even pray janazah on Rasulullah. Why do you pray janazah? What intention do you make when you pray janazah? We make intention to praise Allah, send salat upon the Prophet and pray for the forgiveness of the deceased. Does Rasulullah need you to make dua for forgiveness? Rasulullah had given instructions, when I die, wash me, coffin me, leave my body. Leave me alone for a while. Allah will send angels to pray over me. Then people should come in the individual, 8-10 people at a time. 30,000 people prayed upon Rasulullah. Rasulullah died Monday morning. By the time Zohar, everything was ready. Burial, coffin, everything was done. People in their groups of 8-10. 30,000 people prayed janazah on Rasulullah. So if you imagine groups of 8-10 coming, even taking 5 minutes each, how long will it take? And Sahaba had no problem, because Rasulullah had given assurance, when prophets die, their bodies don't rot. When we die, we are commanded that quickly bury them. Why? Within a few hours, the body begins to rot. When the Prophet passed away in Medina, it was month of June, 50 degrees. No cold storage facilities. No refrigeration. No cold storage facilities. So ordinary people dying within hours, 50 degrees, the body will stink. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's body was special. 3 days it took. All day Monday, all day Tuesday, all day Wednesday. Until Wednesday evening, then they buried Rasulullah. When everybody had paid their respects to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they say, oh, the Sahabu Bakr, Umar didn't pray janazah. They didn't need to pray public janazah, because the Prophet told them not to pray public janazah. But they paid their respects. Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma were the first people to pay their respects to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Bakr didn't worry about Khilafat. And when people made him, Abu Bakr came to Masjid and said, oh, people have made me Khalifa, but I hand it back to you. That was emergency situation. You choose your Khalifa whom you want now. Hazrat Ali would stand up and say, no, Abu Bakr, you are the Khalifa, you will remain Khalifa. Hazrat Ali gave him allegiance. Hazrat Hassan gave him allegiance. Hazrat Hussein gave him allegiance. Hazrat Salman Farsi gave him allegiance. Abu Zar Ghifari gave him allegiance. Miqdad bin Aswad gave him allegiance. Ammar ibn Yasir gave him allegiance. All the Sahaba gave Abu Bakr allegiance. They realized. The man Rasulullah himself put on the Musalla, who dare bring him back? No one dare bring him back. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the worthy successor of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In Islam, there are fundamentals. The most fundamental issue is Tawheed. We believe who gives life and death. We believe who gives life and death. When people are in problem, who do they pray to? Who do they pray to? Allah. When Yunus alayhi salam was in problem in the stomach of the whale, who did he pray to? He prayed to Allah. Who sends rains? Who's the ever living? Who gives life and death? Allah. And anyone who believes in anything other than this, we call it shirk. Shirk. Inna Allah la yaghfir wa yushraka bi. Allah will forgive everything, not shirk. Allah said to Rasulullah as well, لَيْنَ شْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ وَلَا تَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Even if you were to commit shirk, I will wipe away all your good deeds as well. Not that Rasulullah was ever going to commit shirk, but Allah is telling us. If I can tell my Prophet that, watch yourselves. In Islam, in our deen, the fundamental issue is tawheed. To pray to Allah, to regard who gives life and death, sickness and health and honor and everything. Who did the prophets pray to? This is Jilaul Uyun, written by Bulla Maqir Majusi, volume 2, page 66 of Urdu version. He says, Khatimun Nabijin ne. He is accusing Rasulullah, accusing rubbish, kufr, assigning kufr to Rasulullah. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He says, Khatimun Nabijin ne arshad farmaya, Saqiye Kausar Maula Ali alayhi salam hai. Yani Quran ne jisko Rab kaha, wo Saqiye Kausar Ali hai. Who is Rabb? Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. The Quran is saying Rabb is who? Allah. Mullah Baqir Majlisi is saying the man that Allah says Rabb is Mawla Ali. Quran ne jisko Rabb kaha wo Saqiye Kausar Ali hai. Anbiya ne tabliq farmai tawheed ki, maabood ki aur Allah ki. Jab afat aayin tu pukara hai Rabb Ali ko. He goes, even the prophets, when they ran into troubles, they would pray to Ali. Ab bhi masaib mein pukarna apne apne halat ke tahat Ali ko sunnat-e-anbiya aur Quran-e-paak hai. He goes, whenever anybody runs into problem, this is the sunnat of all the prophets to call to Ali for help and safety. If Hazrat Ali, na'uzu billah, could help others, you know how Hazrat Ali died? Allah wanted to show people who is Rabb Hayyul La Yamut. When Ali radiallahu anhu, when Shia's in problem, you know what they say? Ya Ali Madad! Nara Hadri Ya Ali! This is what they say. If Ali was to help them, why couldn't he help himself? When Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was in Kufa, the night he passed away, we believe Hazrat Ali's got nothing to do with this shirk and kufr they assigned to Hazrat Ali. Hazrat Ali is free from all such rubbish. Hazrat Ali used to pray to Allah. He was a beloved of Allah. He was a true companion of Rasulullah, son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his cousin. But the day he was supposed to pass away, Hazrat Ali knew that Allah had inspired him. He knew he was going to die soon. Allah inspired him. Abdurrahman ibn Muljim, who was to kill him, assassinate him, he'd come to Kufa. And they'd carved out a plan in Haram in front of Baytullah to assassinate Amr ibn As, Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, and Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, all on the same night in the 17th of Ramadan, simultaneously, same time at the Hajjit time when they come for Fajr. Hazrat Amr ibn As became ill and he sent somebody else to lead people in Fajr. So he got away with it. He was killed in his place. Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu had extensive intelligence. He became aware of the plot and was able to foil it. Hazrat Ali knew Ibn Muljam had come. He knew he was going to kill him. In fact, he told him, I'm going to kill you. He got a sword, sharpened it, dipped it in poison. One day Hazrat Ali was giving khutbah, and Hazrat Ali used to give ajeeb khutbah. Ajeeb, khatib. And Ibn Muljam was sitting in the front, sir. He said, I'm going to teach you a lesson, don't worry. The man next to him heard it. He came to Hazrat Ali, reported the issue. People said, why don't you deal with him? Hazrat Ali said, how can I convict him of a crime he hasn't committed yet? So the night he was to be martyred, the whole night he spent twisting, turning. He couldn't sleep. The Hajjit time he felt a bit sleepy. He fell asleep. Hazrat Hassan came to waken him for Fajr. When he was leaving his home to go and pray in the masjid in Kufa, Ibn Muljam was standing outside. He had this sword prepared and sharpened. He slashed the sword at his skull. And it cut through his skull, through his brain, leading to excessive bleeding. And people very immediately threw a sheet at Ibn Muljam to catch him. He tried to struggle but was caught. But Ali radiallahu anhu, as a result, then he was martyred. Situation in Kufa was so tough, Hazrat Hassan could not bury Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu in Kufa. In the darkness of the night, where very quickly, secretly, they washed Hazrat Ali, gave him a coffin and put his body on a camel and just drove it out of town. Left him to Allah to take him wherever Allah wills. The shrine they assigned to him in Najaf, that is not where Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu is buried. Nobody knows for sure where is the grave of Hazrat Ali. So if Ali radiallahu anhu could help other people, why couldn't he save himself? So Hazrat Ali is not Rab. And then he goes on to say in so many places in here that Hazrat Ali said, I am the one Janab Mawla, this is on page 85. Janab Mawla Amir al-Mu'mineen ne farmaya, Mumin, Munafiq, Kafir, Mushrik, koi aadmi nahi marta jab tak main iske sirane jaakar hukam na doon ki ye mar sakta hai. He says, nobody can die, no Mumin, no Mushrik, no Kafir can die until I go and give permission for him to die. Then he goes on to say so much. So Tawheed, we believe, who gives life and death? Shia believe who gives life and death? Usul-e-Kafi is one of their fundamental books. And this was the book written first and foremost by the Shias. And supposedly approved by the 12th Imam. And in their Usul-e-Kafi, it's on the day of Qiyamah, who will decide? Who will go to Jannat or Jahannam? Who will decide? Who will decide? Who will have the final decision? Rasulullah will make shafaat, intercession. Rasulullah, people will be lining up to give an account of their deeds. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will pray to Ya Allah, please. They're lining up. Ya Allah, they did their best. Please let them go. Allah will accept the intercession of Rasulullah. Some people will be waiting in a queue. Rasulullah would say, let them go, Ya Allah. They did their best, whatever they could do. Let them go, Ya Allah. What are you going to do with taking account from them? Some people will end up in Jannah, but low down. Rasulullah will say, Ya Allah, these people did their best. Ya Allah, they're already there, but raise their status. Allah will elevate their status. Some will be going to Jahannam. Rasulullah will intercede on their behalf and say, Ya Allah, they did their best, but shaitan led them astray. Ya Allah, please let them go. Allah will accept his intercession, shafa'at, and let them go. But Shias, they say that Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, na'uzu billah, this is Usul-e-Kafi, volume 1, page 197. Waqala, qala amirul mu'mineen alayhi salam, ana qaseemullahi bayna al-jannati wal-nar. Hazrat Ali supposedly, he did not say this, he could not say this. But the Shias, they say, Hazrat Ali will decide on the day of Qiyamah who will go to Jannat and who will go to Jahannam. Who will decide in reality? Allah will decide. But Shias, they believe, who will decide? Ali radiallahu anhu. Is that Tawheed or is that Shirk? That is plain, blatant Shirk. We believe from all the people in the world who are the next thing after Tawheed is in our deen is Risalat. After Tawheed, the most important issue in our deen is Risalat. We believe not just in Rasulullah, but all the Prophets. You can become anything. You can become a Hafiz, Mawlana, Alama, Shaykhul Hadith, whatever. One thing you cannot become is a Nabi. Allah is closed, locked, sealed the door of Nubuwwat. Nobody can open it. Nobody will receive revelation of Rasulullah after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the Shias believe, this is page 20, Jilaul Uyun, Mullah Baqir Majusi says, Pas Janab Amir or Deegar Ahle Bayt Rasul bhi baad Rasul misl Rasul biqaul is ayat ke wali hain aur tamam anbiya se afzal hain. He says, after the Prophet, all the Imams Shia believe, they say these 12 Imams are even superior to all the Prophets. So how can they be superior to all the Prophets if Rasulullah is the last Prophet? So the Shias don't believe really in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In our books of hadith, Bukhari, Muslim, Tirmizi, Nisa'i, Abu Dawud, we have thousands, almost 50,000 narrations on behalf of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But 95% of Shia's teachings is what Imam Bakir said, what Imam Jafir said. Hardly a narration in Shia books from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Their deen is different. Their God is different. Their prophets are different. Their teachings are different. After Tawheed and Risalat, how do we know what to believe when Allah, Allah has revealed where? Allah has given a book to Rasulullah. We call it, anybody know how many verses in the Quran? 6,000. See, some people say 6,666. Some people say otherwise. And some people say 6,236 or something. But in any case, in the Quran, there are approximately 6,000 verses. In the Shia, in Usul-e-Kafi, in volume 2, it says on page 634, volume 2, an Ali bin al-Hikam, an Hisham bin Salim, an Abi Abdullah alayhi salam, yani Imam Jafir radiallahu rahimahullah said, "Inna al-Quran alladhi jaa bihi Jibreel alayhi salam ila Muhammadin 17,000 ayah." 17,000 verses. So if the Quran only contained 6,000, there were 17,000. That's two-thirds gone missing. Where is that gone? Two-thirds of the Quran is missing. So Shias don't believe the Quran that you recite in Salat, in Ramadan, the Quran in Musafs, in your homes, in your masjid, is the Quran. They say two-thirds is gone missing. When Allah said in the Quran, "Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun," we have revealed the Quran, this zikr, and I will look after it. Alif lam mim dhalika al-kitabu la rayba fi. There is no doubt. There is no doubt in what? Every vowel of every word of every verse is under divine supervision, protection of Allah. But the Shias, they say two-thirds went walking. They don't believe in Allah the same way that Quran tells you to believe. They don't believe in Rasulullah the same way Quran tells you to believe. They don't believe in the Quran that this is the complete Quran. So how can their religion be the same as your religion? How, if you are Muslim, they are kafir. If they are Muslim, you are kafir. In the Quran, Allah tells us many things to do. One thing which is plaguing the people around now in the world is an issue called muta. You heard of muta? Shias are propagating. It is a very big ibadat. Allah tells you certain things to do and certain things to refrain from. Allah says, "Wadharu zahira al-ismi wa batina." Leave all sins. Don't go indulging in sins. Every country has rules. What does the country expect you to do? Break rules or to abide by rules? And rules are for what? For your protection. Even a simple rule like parking your car properly. In England, UK, we have yellow lines and red lines. If you park outside the hours, even on a yellow line, then you get fined straight away. Do you have fines here? Parking fines? Even as, why? It's everybody's convenient so that everybody gets along. No problem. Simple rules, simple ones even are there for everybody's safety. Allah has made rules, do's and don'ts. And Allah says, whatever I've commanded you do, whatever my Prophet says, مَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوا وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنُ فَانْتَهُوا, whatever he gives you, take it. Whatever he says, refrain from, then you refrain from. وَذَرُوا ظَاهِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَبَاطِنَ, whether visible, invisible, whatever is sinful, leave it. Don't go near. It's for your good. And from all sins, especially some, وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الْفَوَاحِشَ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ, especially indecent things, immoral things. Allah doesn't say just don't do them. Allah says don't go anywhere near them. وَلَا تَقْرَبُ. تَقْرَبُ means don't go anywhere near. Then Allah specifies it more. You know, some people, in Arabic there is a saying, indication, akal mand aadmi ke liye ishara kafi hota hai. For a sensible man, just an indication is sufficient. Lekin sare akal mand nahi hote. Everybody is not sensible. In English they say common sense is not so common these days. Common sense is not so common these days. So Allah knows there will come a time when common sense will not be so common. So Allah said, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الْفَوَاحِشَ مَا ظَهْرَ مِنَا وَمَا بَطَنْ. Don't go anywhere near indecency. Then Allah made it plain clear. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. Don't go anywhere near zina. Allah doesn't say don't do zina. Allah says don't go anywhere near even zina. Why? إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَ. This is grossly indecent. وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. Very bad. Very bad. Allah knows. Allah has created us. Allah has put that attraction within a man and a woman. In a man for a woman, for a woman, in a woman for a man. And this is the most powerful attraction, the most powerful urge in a man for a woman. Women are able to conceal their feelings more and better. They can control it better. But in men, Allahu Akbar, sometimes it's so powerful they can't control themselves. They end up committing crime. They call it rape. And rape is then often followed by murder. Because people then don't want to leave behind any trace or a trail to be caught. So they end up committing crime. The feeling is so uncontrollable. They see someone they just can't control. Allah has given a lawful way. Why you want to indulge in such indecency and commit crime and disgrace yourself and disgrace others? You grown up, ya ma'shara ash-shabab man istata'a minkum al-ba'a falyatazawwaj. Now you got emotions, you have attraction, you feeling, mashallah, you getting desperate, get married. Fa inna wa ghuddu lil-basar wa ahsanu lil-faraj. That's the best solution. Get married. Many people, for them, one is not enough. Okay, one is not enough. You can handle 2, 3, 4. Okay, get married 2, 3, 4. No problem. Only if you can treat them equally. If you can't, then remain happy with one. This is the lawful way. When you want to get married, what do? You go and propose. Your family goes and proposes. You send your father, your brother, your uncle, someone, whoever responsible, to ask the family that my son or so and so wants to marry. He'll agree. Then what do people do? They call family, mashallah, everybody gets together, witnesses. You call a Maulana Saab, he comes and performs the nikah. Is that how you do it in this country? Is that how they do it everywhere? Not everywhere, not just now. This is how they've been doing everywhere since the beginning of time. In every society, Hinduism, Sikhism, you know these people who live in jungle, Zulus, don't you think they get married as well? You think they get married? They have celebrations when they get married. People are invited, people are happy, dinner is served, congratulations are dished out, mashallah, everybody's happy, hugs, kicks, mashallah, all sorts. Everybody knows, mashallah, there's a marriage. You know what the oldest profession is in the world? Prostitution. When a man, he wants something desperately, he's not happy with what he's got at home, he goes looking for something else. And then what does he do? He agrees a price and a time. Name your price, whatever it may be, I don't know what it is. He agrees a price and a time, 1 hour, half hour, 2 hours, one night, 1 week, one day, whatever. Secretly, does he take permission from his father? Dad, I'm going to enjoy myself today. Or he goes to the girl's house. Uncle, I'm having a nice night out today with your daughter. Is that what he says? Is that what she says? Dad, I'm going with this man tonight. I'll be spending the night with him. Does she say that? When people do this, they do it immorally. They do it secretly. Do they want people to know? If somebody, mashallah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, rather humiliated, disgraced himself, blackened his face last night in the brothel, is he going to come and say, mashallah, I was there last night? Huh? Is he going to say that? He'll probably be sweating. I hope nobody saw me. This is called prostitution. And opposite to that is marriage. Marriage is a noble way. Marriage is the sunnah of all the prophets. It's been with in every decent society since the beginning of time. Marriage is the sunnah way of all the prophets. وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلًا مِّن قَبْلِكَ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَذُرِّيَّةً. Verily we sent Rasuls before you. They all had wives and children. When Rasulullah got married to Khadija, was it a private affair? Public affair. People were invited. When Hazrat Fatima was married to Hazrat Ali, was it a secret affair? No, it was public. Rasulullah sent as a Bilal to go and get Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Talha, Saad, Saeed and the people. And Rasulullah performed the nikah of his beloved daughter Fatima in public. Rasulullah married 11 times, secrecy or public. It's a public affair. Everybody knows. Then what happens? Then when Allah blesses you with children, and you know who the father is, you know who the mother is. If you're wealthy, people know that your wealth when you pass away will go to who? Your children, your sons. And when a woman is married to you, they know that she's your wife. Her affairs are your responsibility. And if any such woman is seen with another man, she's got another thing coming. She's got another thing coming. This maintains honor in society, peace in society. This maintains goodness and nobility, not just in Islam, in every society. Until 30 years ago, now we're living in strange times, things change every day. Until 5-10 years ago, it was illegal for a man to marry another man. Now, mashallah. I don't know, you might have heard in America there's an imam, he mashallah, he performs gay marriages in the masjid. Did you hear about it? Huh? There's an imam in America. He's a gay imam, he performs gay marriages. Cape Town there? Allahu Akbar. La hawla wa la quwwata. Gay is big problem in South Africa. The BBC did a report many years ago. There's 5 million plus people HIV positive in South Africa. So this Christian vicar, priest, pastor, he came up with a solution. Because if somebody is gay, people look down upon him. So he came up with a solution, let's make Jesus gay. So he said, Jesus was gay. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Many people, many Christians were offended. Many people said, yeah, well done. That's the way forward. Because if Jesus is gay, no Christian can raise a finger. So that's to make gay homosexuality more acceptable. But in the days gone by, until 30 years ago, if a child was born to a couple who were not married, you know what they called them? They called them? I don't want to say it. You say it. Yes, Haji Saab said it. But now, anybody born without marriage was called what Haji Saab said. But now every second child being born all over the Western world is one such man, what Haji Saab said. Immorality. The Quran says, don't do that. The Quran says, get married. And Rasulullah said, if you got, mashallah, your emotions, you think you need something, you need action, get married. You need more than one wife, no problem. Get 2, 3, even 4. And get married. Get married. فَانْكِحُوهُنَّ بِإِذْنِ أَهْلِهِنَّ. Go to the family, ask for the girl's hand in marriage. Get married. Don't وَلَا مُتَّخِذَاتِ أَخْدَانِ. Don't have secret affairs. And the whole purpose of marriage is مُحْسِنِينَ غَيْرَ مُسَافِحِينَ. Allah has listed people in mashallah. You can marry any woman in the world with the exception of certain. حُرَّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ أُمَّهَاتُكُمْ. Your mother, your daughters, your sisters, your nieces, your brother's daughters, your sister's daughters, and وَأَخْوَاتُكُمْ وَأُمَّهَاتُكُمُ اللَّاتِ يَرْضَانَكُمْ. Women who've nursed you, daughters of women who have nursed you, your daughter-in-law, a man, your son, a woman your son has married, you can't marry her. A woman your father has married previously, you can't marry her either. A woman who's already married, you can't marry her as well. Other than that, women who are independent, they are not your mothers, your daughters, your sisters, your father's sisters, your mother's sisters, they are not your nieces, they are not women who've nursed you, they are not daughters of women who've nursed you, they are not your daughter-in-laws, they are not your mother-in-law, they are not your stepmothers, and they are not married. وَالْمُحْسَنَاتُ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ إِلَّا مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَأُحِلَّ لَكُمْ مَا وَرَاءَ ذَلِكُمْ. Anyone other than this, you are free to marry anyone of them. وَأُحِلَّ لَكُمْ مَا وَرَاءَ ذَلِكُمْ أَن تَبْتَغُوا بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ. That you should marry them on the basis of your wealth. When people propose for marriage, you know what's the first question the father-in-law asks? What's usually the first question? What are you doing, man? You working? Is that what they do here as well? Do they usually ask that? Yeah, you might be, mashallah, a very handsome young man, mashallah, Maulvi Saab, whatever, but what's he doing, man? After all, he's got a keeper somewhere.
No problem, no harm in asking that. Obviously, he's not going to leave his daughter to go and sleep on the road. You got to make sure you can look after her at least. Put yourself in the picture. If you had a daughter, will you give her to a man who can't even look after himself? No. You ask. Normally, he's got a decent income. He's standing on his own feet. Or at least, he will look after her. He won't put her out on the street. And تَبْتَغُوا بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ. Based on your wealth, you can show you can look after her, no problem. And wealth is the basis of marriage in every society, no problem. The Prophet has sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has accepted this as well. The Prophet said, تُنْكَهُ الْمَارَةُ الْأَرْبَى لِمَالِهَا وَلِجَمَالِهَا وَلِحَسَبِهَا وَلِدِينِهَا. People marry women for four reasons, for their wealth, for their beauty, for their family, or their piety. We as Muslims should give priority to deen. But just because someone comes in the masjid every day, mashallah, you see him, but you know he can't even look after himself, so you're going to give him your daughter? Well, I don't think so. No harm. But anyway, based on this, أَنْتَبْتَغُوا بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ مُحْسِنِينَ. Muhsineen means get married. The root word here isn't متزوجين. The general word for nikah is ziwaj. Zawja. Have you heard the name zawja? Zawja in Arabic means a wife. Ya Shaykh, I'm looking for a zawja. That means looking for a wife. So Allah doesn't say متزوجين. Allah says محسنين. محسنين is from the root word حسن. حسن in Arabic means a castle, a fort. What's a fort got to do with marriage? It's got everything to do with marriage. A fort, when you get married, the Prophet said, إِذَا تَزَوَّجَ الْعَبْدُ فَقَدْ اسْتَكْمَلَ نِصْفَ الْإِيمَانِ. When you get married, your half iman becomes safe. So your marriage is your spiritual fort. Shaitan will lure you, but you've got a fort. You're in a castle. You married man. Rasulullah said, when you go out, if you find any woman, she appeals to you, go home straight away. Go home, do the job. That will burst the bubble, release the pressure, and no problem, you are safe. Otherwise, it will cook, and it will make you crazy. So, this is your castle, this is your fort. محسنين غير مسافحين. You are not just out to pass water. Marriage isn't you pass water, but you are in your own castle, your castle of marriage. You protected from the influence of shaitan. Each time you go to your wife, mashallah, you go in the name of Allah. Rasulullah's farewell sermon in Hajjatul Wida. Oh, you people, be mindful of women. أَخَسْتُمُوهُنَّ بِأَمَانِ اللَّهِ وَاسْتَحْلَلْتُمْ فُرُوجَهُنَّ بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ. You've taken them in your marriage. Maulana Sahab, he performs the nikah. He reforms khutbah. And he gives that woman in your marriage with Allah's command, sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hence that woman becomes lawful for you. One day before marriage, if the girl's father saw you walking with his daughter on the high street, you might not get home. And if she so caught her daughter, his daughter, giving messages, chatting on the internet, whatever, Allah knows, he might not be able to do something, but he'll feel so hurt. He feels so shamed. My daughter is doing this. My son is doing this. But the moment the Maulana Sahab done the nikah, now, next time the man comes home, he's laughing at her. She's smiling at him. You smiling at both of them. Alhamdulillah, Ya Allah. Shukr, Ya Allah. My daughter is happy. But one day before, if you saw her smiling, chatting away with the same man, you might have done something drastic. But now, you see the same woman with the same man after nikah, you saying, Ya Allah, you put your head down in sajda, Ya Allah, thank you, you've given my daughter a good husband, she's happy. Ya Allah, keep them together. This is the barakat of nikah. Muhsineen, you become into the fort castle. Castle of iman, castle of marriage, you are safe. Ghayra musafihin, not just to pass water. فَمَسْتَمْتَعْتُمْ بِهِ مِنْهُنَّ. Now, mashallah, you've lived together, you've spent a night together. Before the marriage, there was another arrangement for a mahar, based on how much you can afford, your affordability. So now, the nikah has been performed, now that mahar becomes binding. If a person got married, and he divorced his wife before going to her, before the consummation of marriage, then he doesn't have to pay her mahar, only half.
This is a message. See, this is in the Quran. وَانْتَلَّقْتُمُونَ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ تَمَسُّوهُنَّ وَقَدْ فَرَضْتُمْ لَهُنَّ فَرِيضَةً فَنِصْفُ مَا فَرَضْتُمْ إِلَّا أَنْ يَعْفُونَ أَوْ يَعْفُوَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ عُقْدَةُ النِّكَاحِ. If you fix the mahar, you didn't consummate the marriage, you give her talaq. If you can, and as a gesture of goodwill, you give her all the mahar. Good for you. If the woman forgives, she can forgive, but only half is binding. But if you consummated the marriage, you slept together, had a good night. فَمَسْتَمْتَعْتُمْ بِهِ مِنْهُنَّ فَآتُوهُنَّ أُجُورَهُنَّ فَرِيدًا. Now it becomes binding. Give them whatever you promised with them. فَرِيدًا. This is obligatory. The previous verse says, as what? As muhsineen. Not just for pleasure, for just a 5-10 minute pleasure. This is just as nikah on those women is permanently haram. With any other women, this is your permanent lifelong relationship together. Based on your earnings, your wealth, this is istimta. The Shias mistranslate this, and this is famastamtaatum bihi minhunna. Whatever benefit, pleasure you derive, this is muta. This is not muta. This is nikah here, what the Quran is saying. Because the Quran is telling you to come into security, into the castle, honor, protection of marriage. This has been the nikah. This is in every society. Isn't that the case? Whether you people are Muslim marriage, Hindu marriage, Sikh marriage, Christian, Jewish, Zulu, other, I don't know the name of tribes, I only know Zulu tribe. In every tribe, is that how marriage is performed? When people get together, the understanding is they will live lifelong together in every society. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah has mentioned this in the Quran. This is such a sacred issue. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. Looking after your private parts. This is the intimate relationship between a husband and wife. This is the ultimate pleasure for a man and the ultimate pleasure for a woman. So, and the urge is so strong, can even lead people to crime and commit murder, to rape followed by murder. But the safe way out is marriage. Well, Allah made haram. Don't indulge in anything. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ. The only people, only woman you can have an intimate relationship with is your wife. إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ. Oh, what you own with your right hand. In other words, slaves. فَمَنِ ابْتَغَى وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ. Anyone enter into any other relationship other than this, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ. You are transgressing, going over the limit, you are being sinful. Don't go anywhere near this because it is zina. Is that plain, clear? Understood. No hanky-panky. And other than this, in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sahaba used to travel far and wide for business. Sometimes they would go in campaigns. They would go on business ventures. There used to be no hotels. No other things. They would take their stocks and goods and things. Wherever they would go, no hotels. They need a place to stay. So what they used to do, they used to arrange a temporary marriage. Temporary marriage based on the same principles, except for a fixed time. They would go and ask a woman's hand in marriage from the family. Witnesses, nikah would take place, mahar would take place. The only thing would be assigned would be time limit. I'm here for a month. If you allow me, I want to marry your daughter for a month. With the permission of the family, witnesses, mahar. The man would be responsible for the expenditure of his wife in the meantime. This used to take place when they would go on journeys, when in battles. Rasulullah allowed it on certain expeditions. But Rasulullah then forbade it in the day of Khaybar. Hazrat Ali has reported, on the day of Khaybar, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made this haram, haram, haram. If you don't believe me, there's verses in the Quran. You might already know, Sahaba, in the beginning of Islam, drinking was permissible. Alcohol, drinking alcohol, was it permissible? Gambling. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ قُلْ فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ. Allah says, this is good for you. So anybody come, Maulana, what's this rubbish, man? Why you guys, Maulvis keep telling us it's haram. Look, Allah says in the Quran, it's good for you. It was good for you. But then Allah made it haram. Does anybody anywhere in the world say now that in the time of the Prophet people used to drink, man? Now we work in big meetings and we have to go attend meetings, parties where you work. Maulana, it's difficult, you know. People drink, so people used to drink in the time of the Prophet. Can I drink? So what would Maulana say? You can drink? Huh? You can go and place a bet on who will win the World Cup next time? They used to do in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What will you say? It was permissible. Rasulullah made it haram. When Rasulullah made it haram, then it's haram till the day of Qiyamah. Nowadays people need to buy houses and other things. And people can't, don't have money. So what they do? They borrow loan and interest. In the time of the Prophet, people used to deal in interest. For 23 years while the Prophet was alive, people kept dealing in interest. Until Hajjatul Wida, Rasulullah made it haram. Allah said, وَذَرُوا مَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الرِّبَا إِن كُنْتُ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah has made it unlawful. Now leave everything. Does anybody say, you know, Maulana Sahib, come on, man. People used to take interest in the time of the Prophet. The Prophet's uncle used to give money on interest. So why can't we invest money in banks on interest? Maulana Sahib will say, it was, but now it is. Now it is haram. Now nobody will give you fatwa of jawaz, permissibility. Muta, based on such conditions, was permissible. A hadith in Sahih, hadith in Muslim Sharif, it was permissible. But when Rasulullah made it haram on the day of Khaybar, after that it became haram. Rasulullah then allowed certain people, or certain people rather, thought it, because in the olden days, there were now mashallah, brothers have BBM, BlackBerry Messenger. One brother's got a group of 4,000. He sends one message, 4,000 people get it instantly. MashaAllah. In those days, they didn't have BBM. Sometimes Rasulullah would say things, some people would hear, some people didn't hear it. So anybody who heard, they stopped. When anybody not heard, he thought people doing it, so they carried on. In Fath Makkah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then announced again that Muta is haram ila yawmil qiyamah. Muta is haram till the day of Qiyamah. More people became aware. Still not everybody didn't get around, because many people, most Arabs became Muslim after Fath Makkah. People used to do it, they didn't know. They carried on until Hazrat Umar's time. He realized people were still doing Muta. Why? Because they didn't know. And then Hazrat Umar legislated. He enforced the hurmat of Muta and made it so public, everybody became aware Muta is haram, haram, haram. Shias are now doing it again. And that Muta which used to be practiced in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a Muta, was a form of nikah with witnesses, permission of families, mahar. The man would take responsibility for the expenditure of the family, and if the wife became pregnant, then the child would be the man's child. He would look after it. But the modern Muta the Shias are propagating is nothing but prostitution. How do people I've already given you example how people go into this is Al-Kafi volume 5. There's a special chapter dedicated to Muta, starting with in volume 5, page 449. In Muta and in Nikah, permission of family, witnesses, performance of Nikah, mahar, responsibility. These are conditions which are part of understood conditions. Muta, Abwabul Muta. You see this? Can you read Abwabul Muta? And it says there's a special chapter in here. It's entitled Shurutul Muta. You know what Shurut means? Conditions of Muta. It says Shurutul Muta an Abi Abdullah, yani from Imam Jafir Sadiq, qal la takunu mut'atun illa bi amrain. Muta, only two conditions. Ajalum musamma wa ajrum musamma. Two conditions. Fixed price, fixed time. What's that? Fixed time, fixed price. Is that what you say to your wife when you get married? I'm going to give you £1,000. You are my wife for one day. Is that what you say? If you say to any man, I want to marry your daughter one for one night, £1,000. Is he going to say to you, come, you most welcome? He's going to get out, you son of so and so. Yeah? What do you think I am? So, Usul al-Kafi says two conditions. Agreement. Fixed price, fixed time. That's number one. And then he says number two, on page 451, إِنَّهُنَّ بِمَنْزِلَةِ الْإِمَا وَلَيْسَتْ مِنَ الْأَرْبَى. You are allowed four wives. If you got four wives, can you take a fifth one without divorcing one more? One of them? No, you can't. But it says in Usul al-Kafi, you can take 1,000 at a time if you want. He was said, Imam Jafar said, أَنَا بِيَبْدِ اللَّهِ قَالْ ذُكِرْتُ لَهُ الْمُتَى أَهِيَ مِنَ الْأَرْبَى فَقَالْ تَزَوِّجْ مِنْهُنَّ أَلْفًا. If you want to make muta with 1,000, go and make muta with 1,000. And then he said, with the conditions of muta, يَتَزَوَّجُ مِنْ page 451, يَتَزَوَّجُ مِنْهُنَّ مَا شَاءَ بِغَيْرِ وَلِيٍّ وَلَا شُهُودٍ فَإِذَنْ قَدَى الْأَجَلُ بَانَتْ مِنْهُ بِغَيْرِ تَلَاقٍ. No talaq, no wali, no witnesses, fixed time, fixed price. What's that? Prostitution. Isn't that what muta they do now? If muta, the Shias, they say muta is so good, so good. If you make in tafsir minhajus sadiqeen of Shias, you make muta once, you get the reward of Hazrat Hussein. You make muta twice, reward of Hazrat Hassan. Three times, reward of Hazrat Ali. Four times, reward of Rasulullah. Nauzubillah. Astaghfirullah. They think zina will get you to the status of Rasulullah. Nauzubillah min dhalik. Zina. You know, if muta is permissible, if a man, Maulana, or any respectable man in society has got a daughter, what do people do? Brother, you know, Maulana Sahib, I've got a daughter, please keep your eyes open. If you know somebody nice, somebody respectable, let me know. We can arrange, inshallah, their marriage. Is that how people do it? You might say to Maulana Sahib, your uncle, somebody elder in the community, somebody, you know, you pass the word around quietly so that, you know, people, they know other people, and perhaps, you know, people will introduce the couple and they can get married. Is that how people do it here as well? Is that how they do it in Somalia? Everywhere they do the same way, huh? Wala layala, mashallah. And anyway, if somebody's got a daughter and he puts out a word, is that regarded shameful? No harm. Everybody does it everywhere. But if muta is same as nikah, and it's the same, mashallah, rewarding, Khomeini has written, is the solution to all social problems. To mashallah promote muta. Rafsanjani, in one when he became a president, he is quoted on record as saying, muta is the solution to all problems. If social problems, if muta is the solution to all problems, bring reward. You know, when a man gets married, he gets reward from Allah for being married, taken on responsibility. Does a woman get reward as well for being married? Of course. When a woman becomes, she is expecting a child, every day she gains the reward as though she's fasting, and for every night she gains the reward as though she's spending the whole night in ibadat. Man is getting married, having pleasure, she's having pleasure, she's, mashallah, expecting, Allah is rewarding them, they get together, mashallah, they both enjoy themselves, mashallah, good on them. So when people get married, it's nice for man and a woman. When a man is doing muta, if he is being rewarded, you think the girl should be getting rewarded as well, no? Yeah? So if the girl is being rewarded and the girl's father is a Shia imam, like he says, if you know some nice man, you know, my daughter, I'm looking for a man to marry her, why doesn't he say, if you know any young man, he wants to make muta with my daughter, she's available. Sometimes people, mashallah, they're young, their father passes away, the mother is young. So what they do, you know, they try and family get together and arranges. A young man has got a sister, became a widow. So he looks somebody divorcee or elderly to, so that she can, he can look after her, she can go and get some security somewhere. And does any Shia man say, my sister, you know, she's been now a widow or a divorcee for 4 or 5 years. She's missing a man. Anybody want to make a muta, come to my sister's house. Or even better, khidmat, service to the mother. My mother has been a widow now for 4 or 5 years. Anybody want to make a muta with my mother? Come home. Does any khabees Shia imam ever say that? No, they don't. So what does that prove? They don't regard it as permissible. If it's permissible with other people's daughters, why is it not permissible with your daughter? You don't allow with your daughter. Why?
If you know some Shia Imam, put your hand, put your go and put register your name. I'm ready for muta. Let them see if they've got the nerve, what they propagate and they say it's permissible. It, don't worry, they won't agree. So inshallah, don't worry. Just a way of just a way of testing them out. They don't think it's halal with their own daughters, but they are ready. And Shias go deliberately looking for Sunni daughters, for Sunni girls, to corrupt them, to ruin them. You know, in when people get married, many a time girls are divorcee or a girl's a widow. Sometimes her fault, sometimes might not be her fault. So when a man proposes, do people say, yeah, alhamdulillah, you know, we're ready, inshallah, to take matters further, but she's a divorcee. Do you make things clear? People make no harm. It's no shame. She got divorced. Okay, no harm. But if somebody comes and proposes to a Shia man for his daughter, will he say, my daughter has made muta with 10 men? Will he be ready for that? Will any Shia accept a woman who's made muta 10 times? When they won't, so it says, it shows they are just what they call wolves, preying on the desperation of other people. They don't want their own daughters to make muta. And not only Shia. Shias, they say the imams, they said muta is good. But listen to what imams themselves, if imams were propagating muta, to have encouragement to make muta with other people's daughters, if somebody wanted to make muta with their daughter, they should be happy as well, shouldn't they? They're doing something good. Somebody came to Imam Baqir and said on page 449, and Abi Abdullah alayhi salam, somebody came to Imam Baqir and he said, يسرك أن نساؤك وبناتك وأخواتك وبنات عمك يفعلنا. He said, if your daughter gets married, are you happy she's getting married, or are you sad your daughter is getting married? There's a sort of sense of sadness that she's leaving your home, but at the same time there's overwhelming feeling of happiness that she's going to her house. Yes. So somebody asked Imam Baqir, هل يسرك, will it make you happy if your women in your house and your daughters and your sisters and your nieces, if they were engaged in muta? You're telling other people to do muta with other people's daughters. If somebody came to your house to make muta with your daughters, will you be happy? He says, فَأَعْرَضَ عَنْهُ أَبُو جَعْفَرٍ. He was so disgusted, he turned his face around. You filthy man, how can you ask me this question? So why can't he ask you this question? If you're encouraging other people, this is a load of rubbish. Imam Abu Jafar, Imam Baqir, Imam Jafar Sadiq will never approve of anything or tell anyone to commit zina. The modern muta which the Shias are promoting and propagating is not the muta which used to take place in time of Rasulullah. That was temporary nikah with the permission of the wali in the presence of witnesses, with mahar, with responsibility. And even that was made haram because the Quran says the only people you can be intimate with are your wives and your female slaves. Other than that, no one is allowed to have any relationship. Anything else other than this, which is secret, fixed time, fixed price, no wali, no permission, no nikah, no witness, is what? Not just haram, but prostitution. So let no man, Sunni man, Muslim man, or a Muslim woman be fooled by any khabees Shia into thinking that muta is permissible or was permissible. The muta which was permissible at the time was still made haram, 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 ila yawmil qiyamah, and was never ever the same immoral muta people are making now. You understand or not? Anybody understand or not? So Shiaism, they don't have Tawheed. They don't believe in Khatmi Nubuwat. They don't believe in the Quran. All their lives are based on immorality. If anybody wants to choose that form of life, it's up to him, but it's got nothing to do with Islam. May Allah save us all. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Allahumma waffiqna lima tuhibbu wa tarda, waj'al akhiratana khayran min al-ula, rabbi ighfir warham wa anta khayrul rahimin. Ya Allah, we are all sinful and weak, have mercy upon us, guide us all to the right path. Ya Allah, ya Allah, it's not easy for us to live like Muslims. Ya Allah, ya Allah, it will only be easy if you make it easy for us. Ya Allah, guide us, our sons and daughters, young and old, men and women, the whole ummah of your beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ya Allah, guide us all to the right path, Ya Allah. Save us from all the fitan temptations and evils which surround us, Ya Allah. Enable us to live like Muslims and die like Muslims and rise like Muslims on the day of Qiyamah. Wherever there are people suffering in hardships, Ya Allah, have it. Ya Allah, give them ease and comfort in this world and the life hereafter. Those who are suffering in any way, Ya Allah, especially in different parts of the world, in Egypt, in Syria, in Libya, Palestine, Afghanistan, wherever, Ya Allah, grant them protection and ease and comfort in this world and the life hereafter. Those brothers and sisters who hold good wishes in their hearts, Ya Allah, you are well aware of them, Ya Allah. Grant them and grant us all goodness of this world and the life hereafter. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi.